From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. As you know, we repeat the program 10 p.m. those same days, and we're coming to you on all of our many, many platforms. Of course, our four radio stations here in New Jersey. And even getting over into parts of Pennsylvania and a little bit of Delaware, too. I'm told up in Lewis, Delaware, and then over, even bouncing across the bay there up in north central Jersey over into parts of Staten Island. So, but again, if you have an Amazon Echo device or a Google Home device, you can listen no matter where you are. Or our free mobile app, which is free. I hope you download it. And our streaming audio, all kinds of ways to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. That is why Domestic Church Media exists. And I'm happy you're here today, my friends. This midweek, Wednesday, today our Holy Father did give his general audience over in Rome. And, you know, he's continuing his catechesis on virtues. And today he's going to reflect on the virtue of prudence. And then later on we'll go back to our examination of conscience today, beginning with the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So we'll cover that as well. First, we're going to pray, though, my brothers and sisters, and as we're doing, we're praying this beautiful deliverance prayer for parents and spouses and family. You know, the family is under such horrible, horrible attack. As St. John Paul II would often say, as the family goes, so goes the nation, so goes the world. And so Satan wants to destroy the basic cell of society, the family. And we have to pray to remain united. I hope you had a great and beautiful holy solemnity of St. Joseph yesterday. Very powerful saint, and one of my favorite titles of St. Joseph, Terror of Demons. So keep invoking St. Joseph, asking St. Joseph to help you. He's right there, and he's ready and willing to help you, whatever your needs are. So please keep praying to him for intercession. But we're praying this prayer of the deliverance. So I invite you now, my friends, to raise up all of your special intentions, whatever they are, and especially family intentions, you know, families that are divided, members of families estranged from each other. The devil loves to see that. He loves it. So let's pray, my friends, in the beginning, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them all out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my friends, now we raise up those very special intentions for which we pray and ask the Lord to help us. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family, with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, and all the saints. Amen. And we'll pray our prayers to Saint Michael and to our Blessed Mother, as Holy Father asks us to pray, to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil, and we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Holy Family of Nazareth, pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, for all the financial needs of our family of listeners and viewers, and especially as we approach our spring radiothon for the financial needs of domestic church media, Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, thank you, friends, for praying together. Thanks again for those of you who participated in Come to the Throne yesterday, Bruce's program of prayer. I heard every first and third Tuesday live at 2 p.m. here on these domestic church media stations. A very special charism. And Bruce has been a great blessing, Bruce and his lovely wife, Linda. A great blessing to this apostolate for many years now. And he will be joining Cheryl and me on April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, for our annual spring radiothon. And it's our major fundraiser of the year, my brothers and sisters. It's a time when we come to you and we ask you in a special way to look within your heart and help us financially. This is the only way domestic church media can broadcast. It's the only way we can keep our radio stations open and on the air. It's the only way we can proclaim the gospel message, and especially that beautiful week, Easter week, proclaim the resurrection. You know, every day within the octave of Easter is an Easter day. It's one long eight-day day, just like Christmas. It's so special a solemnity, so beautiful a solemnity. So we choose this year to come to you during Easter week, as we proclaim the risen Lord and proclaim it to the entire world. You know, the beautiful thing is we because of all the audio platforms that we use, in addition to our radio stations here on the East Coast, but all the audio platforms that we use, we literally go around the world. And just think, that week, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, we're proclaiming the risen Lord and just blaring it around the world that he is risen. And we cannot do it, my brothers and sisters, without you, your prayers especially, and your financial assistance. And I know times have been tough. The economy has been, you know, very shaky these past few years, and I know it takes a lot. But if we don't have these radiothons, these fundraising events, we will not be here. So I just ask you, please, and, you know, we're getting... I can't believe it's only 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from today, right? It's April 3rd. How fast the time is going. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time. And we have to do what the Lord is asking us to do. So I just ask you, please, spread the word and help us in any way you can during those 3 days. We're not going to preempt programming for 3 days straight. You know, we come in and out. We broadcast most of your favorite programs along the way throughout each of those 3 days. And we come, you know, bounce in and bounce out to remind you what we're doing to help us and to support us. So we just ask you, please, now in these last couple of weeks or last week and a half of Lent, we start the Easter Triduum next Thursday, Holy Thursday. And that's what it's all about. It really is. I mean, this is what it's all about. Jesus came into this world to suffer and die for us so he could rise from the dead and bring to all of us the promise of salvation. And it's our responsibility here at Domestic Church Media, it's our mission to proclaim that great message of hope that Jesus suffered and died for us. We'll be remembering that next week, especially through our Easter Triduum, that on Easter Sunday, in all his glory, he rose from the dead, conquered sin and death on that cross. And we proclaim that on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in so many various ways. And so that Easter week, we want you to be part of that Easter celebration with us and share in the joy of that beautiful proclamation that he is risen. And help us to do that for years to come. So that's my message to you today, and I ask you please to pray for us in a special way because, again, we can't do it without you. Let's see. So, Holy Father, on this morning over in Rome, he had his general audience, and he's been doing this catechesis on the virtues. Well, vice and virtue. Today he's going to focus on and reflect on the virtue of prudence. And he noted that it is an essential characteristic for good governance, an observation he made while renewing his call for negotiating an end to war. Well, you know where he stands on that. He said, war is always a defeat. You can't go on in war. We must make all efforts to negotiate, to end war. Let's pray for this, he said. And I guess he was, the weather must be nice in Rome because he was in the piazza at St. Peter's there, and he was greeting the faithful from the Pope Mobile. And he's still having a little difficulty speaking, so he had Monsignor Pierluigi Giroli read his teaching. But he was there, and I guess they say he's still suffering from mild flu symptoms, so keep the Holy Father in your prayers. His catechesis, however, offered an outline of prudence, one of the four cardinal virtues, and the Holy Father noted that it is an essential characteristic for those called to govern, as it requires inner equilibrium and the ability to harmonize conflicting views. The prudent, Pope Francis taught, do not choose by chance. First of all, they know what they want, and they weigh up all the situations. Seek advice, and with a broad outlook and inner freedom, they choose which path to embark on. Well, isn't it sad that everybody doesn't do that, right? This is a great cardinal virtue because, you know, we all, regularly throughout our life, we have to make decisions about things, and Holy Father points out that the prudent individual, one who is practicing that cardinal virtue of prudence, doesn't just choose randomly and by chance. They know what they want, and then they weigh up the situation, and then they seek advice, perhaps, and they take a broad outlook. With this inner freedom, they choose which path to embark upon. And if we live our lives that way, and any especially major decisions we're going to be making, we should be doing the same thing. So let's just go over that again, because these are important things to remember, that we know what we want. There's something that, you know, you have to make a decision, you know, whether it's taking a new job, buying a home, what schools to send your children to, finding a spouse, someone you know, and considering marriage, but all types of decisions. You know what you want. And then you weigh up the situations. You see and you kind of evaluate. You know, when I was in the corporate world many years ago, They used to bring in these individuals to come and help us. You know, I was in middle management. You know, how to make decisions. And they would come in. Well, first you have to create this force field analysis, and you put up on top the pros and the cons, and you say weigh it out and see which, you know, which whatever column, you know, is the stronger, is the way you lean in your decision making process. And what really is it wasn't a bad thing, you know, because we should be doing that in all of our decisions. So you weigh out you weigh up and weigh out the situations, and then perhaps seek advice. You know, you have people whose opinion you value, whose opinion you trust, who know you and will be honest with you. You know, you don't just want yes men. You want people who'll tell you like it is and tell you what they really think, right? And then you take this broad outlook and you have this inner freedom. You choose, then you make the decision where you're going in this particular area, whatever it might be. And the Holy Father said that prudence, which is often conflated with caution or hesitation, should instead be thought of as an innate capacity to act freely and creatively, free from sentimentalism and external pressures. Well, a lot of times our decisions are made perhaps in a particular emotional state where we might lean in one direction or another based on these types of things, sentimentalism, as Holy Father called it, or external pressures. But we want to act freely and creatively, he said, using the cardinal virtue of prudence. Oops, I'm skipping here. I don't know what's going on. Let's see. Okay, I'm sorry. The computer just kind of skipped a paragraph on me. He said, granting primacy to prudence means that the action of man is in the hands of his intelligence and freedom. So, you know, we're all blessed with an intelligence. Almighty God in his beautiful creative hand gives each person a mind and an intelligence and also freedom. You know, we have this beautiful gift of free will. Well, we can decide. God's not going to, we're not puppets on a string, you know. The prudent person, Pope Francis taught, is creative. He or she reasons, evaluates, tries to understand the complexity of reality, and does not allow him or herself to be overwhelmed by emotions, idleness, pressures, and delusions. You know, and again, if you have an important decision to make in your life, and even not so important, but you have to make a decision one way or another about this, that, or the other thing. You certainly don't want to make it while you're in an emotional state that may have an effect on your decision-making process. You know, put it aside. Okay, I can't do this now because I'm too upset about it. Let it rest for a little bit. Sleep on it, you know, right? Step away, step back. Or you're feeling pressure from someone. A coworker, a boss, a spouse, a child, a family member, a friend to do certain things certain ways, and you're feeling that pressure and maybe saying, you know, I don't really think that's the right thing to do, but you're feeling the pressure to do it. Step away. Idleness. You know, Holy Father, you mentioned that interesting, how he mentions idleness, how, you know, just kind of backing off and remaining idle in the whole thing. So the prudent person is creative. The prudent person reasons, evaluates, tries to understand the complexity of the reality of the situation and not become overwhelmed by these things, by emotions and pressures, etc. He went on to highlight that the virtues are not static concepts, but instead form a living organism and a point of encounter and dialogue with antiquity. Virtues are not the exclusive prerogative of Christians, but rather belong to the heritage of ancient wisdom, Pope Francis said, in particular of the Greek philosophers. Life is made up of a constant overlapping of old and new things, and it's not always good to think that the world begins with us, and that we have to deal with problems starting from scratch. And then, you know, in all things, in all things, in all decisions, in all situations, prayer. Take it to the Lord. Take it to Jesus. You know, I've shared with you often about our work in apostolate. You know, there was a time there the Lord took me with very small steps. I was still in the mid-90s, still working for FedEx, again, middle management. You know, you have the 401k, the 4 weeks vacation, all the kind of stuff that went with it, all the perks. I was providing for my family. The children were little, raising our family. But the Lord began to place on my heart a desire for, really, and I didn't really fully understand it then, but I did, obviously as I went along, I did, for doing what I'm doing right now. I began to listen to, you know, in those days, in the mid-1990s, there was no Catholic radio stations in our area. We had a small station down in Camden, New Jersey, where a group of individual Catholics were buying time on a Protestant station, actually. But they were buying the time for the afternoon and evening hours. And I began to listen. And I thought, this is something that really is very much needed. And I was in my, you know, my personal faith journey. I was, you know, I was going to Mass, and Cheryl was the director of music in her at our parish, and I was involved in that with her. But I just started to feel this pull. And this is where the virtue of prudence comes in, because as things began to lure me into this direction, I had to start making decisions. Did I want to continue to work in that corporate environment? And FedEx was a great company to work for when I worked for them. I'm not bad mouthing them at all. It's just, and they did. I worked for them for 15 years, and I was treated well, and it was a good company, well paid for what I did, but I was feeling the Lord calling me into another area. And I believe, again, in hindsight, it's easy. You look back and I say, okay, so those first, now Cheryl and I got married in 85. Our first child was born in 89. You know, I was working for FedEx when we were married, when we first met, actually, and then into the mid-90s. And then the Lord was showing me other ways and other things that he wanted me to do. And I really had to pray about it. I had to use this great gift of prudence to make these decisions, but especially in prayer. Lord, is this what you want from me? And I remember going into my dear, dear friend. He was a retired priest in our parish, since passed away 20 years ago. But in those days, he was living in the rectory, and he would celebrate Mass and hear confessions, etc. And I told him, I said, Father, I'm kind of struggling here. I don't know what to do. I'm feeling called into Catholic radio, but I have my family, and I'm able to support them and care for them and provide for them in the job and the current work I'm in. And he told me, Jim, you got to get out of the boat. It's always been one of my favorite lines. Jim, get out of the boat and start walking. If the Lord is calling you into these things, He will take care of you. But these weren't emotional decisions, and these weren't decisions, you know, on a whim. These weren't decisions being made because it's what I want, period, and my need first. It was, again, in prayer, with great prudence, making these decisions along the way. And that's a key. You know, so many of you... And I'm so happy. Every time I go to the post office and I receive your great, great support, the many donations that you send in, and many of you take the time to write a little note or a please pray for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. knowing that, you know, we are of a fallen nature, we're in a fallen world, things are not always going to go the way we hope they will. And we know that even in our successes and our joys, prayer is needed. You know, we don't just go to the Lord when we need Him to do something for us. We go to the Lord in thanksgiving. We pray. And without prayer, where would we be? Could you imagine what our life would be like if we weren't praying, if we weren't in constant communication with the Lord, you know, constantly talking with Him? And I know many of you, if not all of you, do what I do. You know, we have our formal prayers, of course. But I'm always talking to the Lord. I'm always having conversations with Him, mental conversations with Him. You know, and that's, talk about getting advice, and that's, you know, that's where I go many times, if not all the time. Go to the Lord. Lord, what should I do here? What do you want me to do? I'm not quite sure right now. So prayer is a key. But again, as Holy Father pointed out, you know, with the virtue of prudence and making decisions, you know, with God's guidance and with God's care, we think the situation out. We look at the, you know, the maybe consequences perhaps of a particular decision that might occur. And we weigh these things out, and we, together with that great virtue of prudence and prayer and counting on the Lord to guide us and lead us along the way. You know, He gives us the great will of great gift of free will. He's not going to force us to do anything in particular. He'll let us, but He'll kind of give us a nudge. The Holy Spirit will kind of nudge us in a particular direction if we ask. And that's, you know, to combine the two, to be able to go and seek that guidance in our decision-making process. And if we do that, my brothers and sisters, you know, we can be confident that the decisions we make and the directions we take are the ones that are correct. I've always found, and I've said it many times, you know, we can be most disconcerted in our life if we are doing things that are not compliant with the will of God. Sometimes, you know, the Lord will, we ask for advice, guidance, direction, and the Lord points us in the direction He wants us to go, and you say, that road? That doesn't look like a very safe road, Lord. I don't think I want to go that way. I'm going to go that way. That way looks a lot easier. But the Lord knows. He knows. You know, the Via Dolorosa was not a very easy road to go down. But look what happened. Yes, the Lord suffered and died horribly. But if it were not for that Good Friday, there would never have been an Easter Sunday. You know, so many times we're asked to go and be in the garden with Jesus to suffer. So many times in our life we're asked to go at the pillar to be scourged. So many times we're asked to carry the cross and the crosses that we have in our life. But God will never, as St. Francis de Sales once said, God will never give us a cross that we're unable to carry. He'll never give us a cross too heavy. It'll always be just the right one. As that old, and I'm going to have to paraphrase, you know, a gentleman who was given a cross by God, and he said, this is much, much too heavy, Lord. Can I have a different cross? And the Lord took the cross from him and led him to a room where there was the hundreds of crosses. And the man was walking around deciding which one to pick. And he finally found one and picked it up and says, okay. And the Lord says, that's the one I gave you in the first place. So, you know, He'll never give us a cross too heavy. And there will be crosses, especially as an individual who's a disciple of Jesus. Because He Himself, our Lord, said that, look, if you want to be My disciple, sell everything, pick up your cross, and follow Me. And those decisions in life that we make that require this, again, great gift of the virtue of prudence, help us to see that and understand that and realize that. The Lord, even if it's a hard decision or the result of that decision will be something that will not be easy, the Lord understands He understands. And the cross that we're asked to carry is just the right size and just the right weight. And this is a time of year we remember this, right? We'll be going through Holy Week next week and the Passion on Sunday and into the Triduum to remember that we'll all have crosses. The Lord has promised us that, but there'll always be an Easter Sunday. I take a break. When I come back, we're going to go back to the examination of conscience today, starting with the sixth commandment. So stay where you are. There is more to come. Don't go away. I will be right back. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune in to our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything at all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah, I have carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people, question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I had experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to. And I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic Moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine, only become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back on this lovely March 20th, the first full day of spring, and it doesn't feel a bit like spring, but that's okay. It'll be here before you know it. The weather is going to always, that's the neat thing about living in this part of the country, is that there's always a season to follow, right? And when we lived in Arizona for those first 3 years, after we got married, Cheryl and I, we used to drive up to Sedona and Flagstaff, especially Flagstaff, where they have leaves changing and snow. And then in the summertime, we would drive west, about a six-hour drive over to San Diego to see the beach, the ocean, because you had to find the seasons. There's only really one, I'd say two seasons in Arizona, in the Phoenix area anyway. Summer, which is very hot, and kind of like nice spring-like weather in December, January, February. So we always know here in this part, on the East Coast, we have these beautiful seasons. So spring is here, and we'll be enjoying that, we pray, for the next 3 months or so. Easter already is a week from Sunday. This coming Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week. Now, we're going to have some special programming for you, as we do every year, especially starting on Holy Thursday, the Easter Triduum, Good Friday, and then the Easter Vigil. We go take you to Rome. We take you to Washington, D.C., EWTN, special teaching programs, Bishop Sheen, Mother Angelica, throughout the Triduum. And then Easter Sunday, of course, we will bring you the Easter Sunday Mass from Rome. I think it's at 4 o'clock in the morning if you want to get up that early and listen. We'll also take you down to EWTN and then over to down to Washington, D.C. for their noon Mass at the Basilica. And then once that Mass is over, around 1:30 or so on Easter Sunday, we're going to do what we've been doing since the pandemic. We started this in the pandemic, actually. Play Easter music until midnight. Just so, just all kinds of. Cheryl put together wonderful music sets, 10 hours of music on Easter Sunday, starting around 1:30. So if you're having family gatherings, you put it on in the background. We always recommend taking a speaker, putting it out on your porch, and letting your whole neighborhood hear the hallelujahs and the hallelujahs and all the glorias. Let people know he is risen. Anyway, we're doing that Easter Sunday. It's kind of become a tradition. We were talking, Cheryl and I were talking about the, I guess it was 4 years ago, that Easter Sunday. We were all locked down. Remember, nobody could go to Mass. And we put together this these 10 hours of music for you to help you celebrate the day. And but anyway, long time ago, hard to believe that all happened, right? All that stuff that people were doing and making us do. And so anyway, Easter, the whole Triduum, and we'll be bringing you special programming. I'll be here with you next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, but then, of course, I'll be off for the Triduum. And then the following week, again, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. That is our annual spring radiothon. And we'll be coming to you 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. in and out of our regular programming. We don't preempt everything completely for 3 days. We just come in and out, you know, pop in and tell you what our needs are. Bruce and Cheryl will be here with me and try to raise the funds that we need to continue to do what we're doing, and especially at Easter week to proclaim that beautiful Easter message that he is risen. You know, on our break, I'll get to the examination of conscience in a moment, but this is the writing by St. Francis de Sales that I alluded to. Very, very beautiful, called Your Cross. The everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross that he now presents to you as a gift from his inmost heart. This cross he now sends you, he has considered with his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his wise justice, warmed with his loving arms, and weighed with his own hands to see that it not be 1 inch too large and not 1 ounce too heavy for you. He has blessed it with his holy name, anointed it with his consolation, taken one last glance at you and your courage, and then sent it to you from heaven, a special greeting from God to you, an alms of the all-merciful love of God. That's St. Francis de Sales. You can Google that. If you Google Your Cross, St. Francis de Sales, it comes up. But again, a reminder that God will only send us what we can handle. He'll always give us the grace. And so many of us have crosses to bear in this life. And when you read that, it kind of puts it all in perspective. It's called Your Cross. Just you can Google it, Your Cross, St. Francis de Sales. It'll pop up on there. And if you don't use Google and use DuckDuckGo, you know, another search engine, you can, same thing comes up. So, Your Cross by St. Francis de Sales. Let's go back to, we've done this examination of conscience using the Ten Commandments. And today we're starting with the Sixth Commandment. Now, this one, again, if there are young children, more age appropriate, you know, you shall not commit adultery. There are some specifics here that it'll talk about that, you know, you want, if you have children there, and I know some of you ride in the car and have the radio on. But again, it is an examination of conscience for adults, and these are things we need to consider. First of all, have I been faithful to my marriage vows in thought and action? In thought and action. So remember, Jesus said that if a man looks lustfully at a woman, he's already committed adultery in his heart. And if a woman looks at a man lustfully, same thing. So it's not just the action of infidelity, but also the thought and the intention, the desire for it. Remember Jimmy Carter, President Carter, back in when he was president, back in the late 70s, said that. You know, it was kind of a headline. I've committed adultery in my heart. Remember that? Another consideration, again, this is if you're, before you go to confession, you're examining your conscience. Have I engaged in any sexual activity outside of marriage? Well, sadly today, you know, the culture in which we live kind of promotes that. You know, has society and the culture has no problem with it. You know, all you have to do, especially this week, I think, you watch the news about, and you see the news clips of spring break. Oh, my goodness. And it pops up on Facebook, too, you know, in these little reels that pop up. It just, and what really I find very disturbing is when, especially young women who talk about their sexual promiscuity quite openly, like there's, and boy, young men too, but to see young women talk this way about themselves, their bodies, and I think it doesn't jibe. But when you hear, you know, the feminist talking about my body, etc., but you're letting yourself be objectified in this way. So anyway, if engaging in any sexual activity outside of marriage is a grave offense, and then it certainly needs to be confessed. Have I used any method of contraception or artificial birth control in my marriage? You know, when we take our marriage vows, we promise to be open to life and to receive children from the Lord. And if we do anything that is artificial or use contraception to prevent that from happening, well, that's a sin. Has each sexual act in my marriage been open to the transmission of new life? Well, again, there too, you know, there's, we talk about chastity in marriage. You know, you think of chastity, you think of being unmarried and remaining chaste, and but even within marriage, you have an obligation to be chaste. You know, you have an obligation to use your sexual faculties as God intended them to be used. And so if anything is being done in a way in the conjugal act, within marriage even, that's not open to the transmission of new life, that's sinful. Of course, then there's the sin of impurity, and that needs to be confessed. Do I seek to control my thoughts and imaginations? We're human. We've been given the great gift of our sexuality. Things sometimes pop in our heads, but the sinfulness here is self-control, is no self-control. So we have to control our thoughts and our imaginations. We can't, in our mind, create situations, images, thoughts that are impure, unchaste in any way. So we have to control our thoughts and imaginations. And if we intentionally use the gift of our imagination, which is a gift from God, in a way that creates images, impure images, etc., and situations, then that's sinful. Have I respected all members of the opposite sex, or have I thought of other people as mere objects? This is something that Saint Pope Paul VI, in his 1968 encyclical letter Humanae Vitae, talks about as a result of a contraceptive mentality, that we would begin to objectify, especially men objectifying women, in a way that they can be used for his own pleasure, because there's no chance that she can get pregnant because of contraception. So they become now a means of pleasure for him in an objectifying way. And so whether it's a male objectifying a woman or vice versa, objectifying any member of the opposite sex, treating them as just mere objects for your own satisfaction and pleasure, is sinful. Have I been guilty of any homosexual activity? Again, to have same-sex attraction is not sinful. Okay, there's no sin in same-sex attraction. For whatever reason, some people say they have that same-sex attraction. However, if you act on that attraction and you engage in homosexual activity, it's sinful. Now, as heterosexual individuals, you have an attraction for a member of the opposite sex, and that too can be, that goes back to controlling our thoughts. It goes back to being faithful, especially if you're married, if you have an attraction towards someone other than your spouse. But even for single people, to be attracted to other members of the opposite sex, that's natural. But again, that can become sinful depending on how you allow your mind to operate. It's just natural to have an attraction to a member of the opposite sex. And there are people who claim to have same-sex attraction. Nothing sinful about the attraction. It's what is done about it. And if it's acted upon and engaged in either homosexual activity or heterosexual activity outside of marriage, it's a sin. Do I seek to be chaste in my thoughts and words and actions? Do I seek to be chaste in my thoughts, words, and actions? Again, we have these beautiful sexual faculties that the Lord has created in us to be used for a specific purpose within the within marriage, number one, and to be open to life with the purpose of procreating. And again, in marriage, we know that the sexual act is both procreative and unitive in a marriage, that the it brings the man and woman closer and unites them closer as a couple in a way that is just to be used within marriage, period. But if I am unchaste in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions, it's sinful. Am I careful to dress modestly? Am I careful to dress modestly? You know, fashions today, especially summer fashions, are a little, can be, you know, immodest. Let's be honest. I mean, my goodness, especially here in our part of the country, when we go down the shore in the summer, and you look around, you see some of these. You can't even call them bathing suits. My goodness. There's not much to them. And on women. And men, you know, they don't really have much of a problem there, I don't think. But women especially who allow themselves to be, in a sense, create a situation where they're going to be objectified. Sinful. So that's the sixth commandment. We can start the seventh. I don't know how far we'll get. We'll see. You shall not steal. Seventh commandment, you shall not steal. Well, basically, have I stolen what's not mine? And that's a sin. If you steal, stealing is stealing. Have I returned or made restitution for what I've stolen? You know, if you steal something of value, you know, I stealing is stealing, so it doesn't really make much difference. You can steal a candy bar or steal a car. It's still stealing. But have I returned it or made restitution after I've stolen? If, you know, you steal something and, you steal money, possessions, whatever, and you go and you confess it, and Father says, okay, but now return the watch, and you don't, well, you can't be forgiven for that. This is an interesting one under you shall not steal. Do I waste time at school, work, and home? You know, if you're, we have a great gift in time, and time is short. You know, I look at it, I'll be 70 years old this year, and I look, okay, so Scripture says, you know, Lord, you give us 70 years, 80 if we're strong, and then that's just a 10-year buffer here. Time is short. Most of my life is behind me. The time we have, whether we're, 20 or 70, whatever we have, is precious. And especially in a work situation where an employer is paying you to work and you're wasting your time, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're getting paid anyway, that is, in effect, stealing, you know. That's why these work-at-home situations happened more so, obviously, during the pandemic. But even without the pandemic, with technology, people are able to do work from home. But it's a much different environment than getting to, you know, the office at 8 o'clock in the morning and staying there till 5. Because you're in the office and your boss is probably there and you're accountable for the work you're doing. But if you're home and nobody's overseeing you, you're being expected to be true and faithful and honorable to the work that you're expected to do and being paid for. That's why a lot of these companies now are saying, okay, folks, pandemic's over, come back to the office. No more of this work at home stuff. You can come to the office. So there's stealing time and using time, wasting time, can be sinful. Do I gamble excessively, thereby denying my family of their needs? Well, that's a problem, right? Using money that you should be using for your family, but gambling it excessively and not being able to provide. Do I pay my debts promptly? Do I pay my debts promptly? If you're going to borrow money, be aware you're going to have to pay it back. And you, otherwise, you're stealing someone else's money. Do I seek to share what I have with the poor? Am I charitable in that way? Have I cheated anyone out of what is justly theirs? For example, creditors, insurance companies, big corporations. Now, you hear a lot of that sometimes, you know, whether it be cheating on your taxes or insurance fraud, you know, taking from big corporations. I'm trying to give an example to use to that example. But these are all things you may not think, you know, the company can afford it. You know, it's a major company. They have plenty of money. They don't. I can take these little screws off the shelf, put them in my pocket. They won't miss them. Stealing, you're stealing. You're still stealing. It's a you know. So those are some of the things considered under the seventh commandment: you shall not steal. But I am going to stop here because time is almost up. Next week, Wednesday, we'll be here Wednesday. So we'll finish up on this. But again, you know, an examination of conscience, a good examination of conscience is so important, especially regarding, confession. But also, as I mentioned, you know, if you do night prayer, that's how we begin night prayer. We do an examination of conscience to go over your day and to be right with the Lord before you close your eyes and sleep, you know, to evaluate and to go through that beautiful penitential rite that's written into night prayer. It's a great way to end the day. So examine your conscience, get to confession. Hopefully there's going to be some penance services you can get to before Easter. And I know over at Queen of the Universe in Levittown on Thursday at 7 p.m., if you're over in that area, they're going to have a penance service. So I got to go. Be back tomorrow. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for being a part of my day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you, and God love you.